Welcome back to the Chasing Tone Podcast. I, of course, am Brian Wampler, and today, back again with me, is Blake Weiland. And today, we talk about troubleshooting your pedal, possible pedal problems, and how to fix it. Let's jump right in.
Mr. Wampler.
Mr. Weiland.
What's happening?
Well, modifying pedals. What are you doing?
I guess this brings up something I wanted to talk about, what mm-hmm. I was doing before we started talking. Let's say, for instance, you got an amp guy, or a pedal guy, or a guitar guy, whatever type of guy you got. You got a guy.
Why is it a guy?
Well, it could be a girl.
Okay.
Whatever it is.
Let's not be biased here. Don't be sexist, dude. Stop being sexist.
Sorry. Say you got a person.
There you go. Wait, why does it have to be a person?
Or a dog.
Why does
it
have to
be a dog?
Be a
say you have a preferred, I don't know.
Thing?
I can't win. I can't win.
It's a being of some sort. Why is it got to be a being? Okay. It's an it.
What are you saying? They're not good enough to be a person? I don't know.
You can't win in that situation. Anyways, so you have this person that's into amps, right?
Or yes. Now, I'll just be very specific about what I'm talking about.
Sure.
And you've trusted them with all kinds of things, and you trust their knowledge and their abilities, and they're your person. And they suggest something to you, like, for years on end, and then you're like, yeah, nah, I'm good. You should do it if they're suggesting it, because...
Well, it depends. If they're like, see that bridge? You should jump off that. You know?
Well, but maybe you should. You know, maybe it would be better for everyone if you did. No,
that's horrible. No, no. Not unless there's a bungee cord attached to it and you get some sort of thrill from it.
Right, but make sure the bungee cord's long enough.
That's the other part. Yes, make sure you mean short enough.
I mean short enough.
Don't make it too long. That ends in disaster.
Yes.
I speak from experience. No, I'm kidding.
Well, you think he's the way he is? More specifically to where this actually makes sense. You know, a Benson Amps fanboy.
Yes.
And have been forever.
Super sweet guy. Love him.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Talked to him for a long time.
He's been bugging me for years. I have a really early build of his. It's like serial number 54, I believe. And, you know, as you know, once you do things for a long time, you tend to get better at them, and you learn tricks and things along the way. Well, for like 2 years, he's been like, hey, dude, bring your amp back up. I know how to make it better. I'm like, psh, how could it get any better? It's already exactly what I need.
Right. I don't want it better.
I don't want it better. It's fine. And then finally, it was like, okay, I'll bring it up to you. And I brought it up to him yesterday. Yeah, yesterday. And he spent about 30 minutes just tweak some things. I don't know what you electronics people do in there, but he... It's all magic.
It's all magic. We have basically this dust. It's mojo dust. We just sprinkle it on it here in certain places.
I think that's what he did. Yeah. No, he made some tweaks to the way the power supply was working and a few other things. And I was like, okay. And I was like, well, I'll bring it home and play with it, and yeah, it's definitely better. It's not night and day, but it's probably a good 15% to 20% better sounding than it was, and I can't believe it. So that said, I'm kicking myself for, you know, this guy whose ears I very much trust telling me that it's better, and I've been sitting here playing having less than optimal tone for however many years at this point. So listen to your people.
Had you only known. You know, it's kind of like if you'd only had frozen pizzas, you know, your entire life, and someone's like, no, let me make you a pizza. And you're like, no, this is the best pizza there is. I don't want your homemade pizza.
Yeah, you know? Be gone.
Right. That's basically what you did. You're like, no, I'm sticking with good old DiGiorno.
It's even dumber than that, because it's a guy like, he's been in all of my amps pretty much, except for a couple. He's like been in and modified almost every amp I own. It's like a guy I know is good, and I'm just like, nah, I'm good over here. I'm good over here. Yeah, I'm dumb is what I am.
I get it. Happens to all of us. Happens to all of us.
So, listen to your people. But now my what I thought was a perfect amp is now perfecter. So, I'm happy. It's all good in the end.
More perfect, if you will.
Yep. He's going to tell me in like 6 weeks he's got another mod for it or something. I don't know. Anyways, that was one of the things happened to me this week in the gear.
Well, that's a good problem when someone's like, I need to make your amp better. You know, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, definitely not. It was definitely a non-issue. I'm certainly glad for the way this story ended, and that was probably really boring. But, hey,
well,
here we are.
Only for everyone else listening.
Not for me, though.
Not for you, though. You're the one that counts. So,
oh, thanks, Brian. That means a lot.
Well, I don't mean that. I'm just saying. I thought that might make you feel better.
Oh, you don't think
I
that?
Really don't. No. No. But I do have some tips that might make you feel better.
Okay.
So, as you know, we get a lot of email, and one of the people that helps me, his name's Jerry. Mm-hmm. Jerry actually Jerry Best to be precise, and you may not know who that is. Jerry Best actually is a killer bass player. He's played with. I'm trying to remember who always played with. He played with Dio for a while, I think. Like, he's played with a bunch of big name guys. He's from LA. So, you know, now he's my age-ish, I guess. Maybe a touch older, but he's got a family now. So he doesn't want to be a road guy. You know what I mean?
Right.
But he still plays a lot. But that's not why I bring this up. I bring this up because he is the one, whenever you email like help at Wampler Pedals, he's the guy that your email goes to first. And so I revised our troubleshooting methods with him, because basically we get a lot of people that say, hey, my pedal's not working. It's a common thing whenever you have a pedal company and you sell a bunch of pedals, right?
It's also common if you just talk about pedals on the internet.
Right.
It happens on that end,
right,
too.
So I thought, well, what I'm going to do, I'm putting out a video, today, now that you're listening to this, it's already out. And this video is kind of walking a person through it, but I thought, you know, for those who aren't really into YouTube videos, maybe it might be interesting to really talk about troubleshooting things so, you know, you're not accidentally sending a pedal somewhere only to have it come back and say, your battery was dead, dude. You know, that does happen.
I mean, it sounds dumb, but, like, it's a common problem with every single builder that I've talked to.
Yes, every single builder goes through this. So I thought I would, you know, maybe help those who might get some help from it, maybe, you know, or at mm-hmm. least find it interesting. You know, so basically, let's say you plug in and you're like, ah, crap, ain't no sound, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we actually have some people that get really irritated because we really do walk them through this, but it's necessary because it happens to all of us. Like, the first thing is, like, make sure your volume on your guitar is up all the way, you know? I know that sounds stupid, but I've done it before myself where I'm testing something,
yes.
And I'm like, what is wrong with this? And I'm like, oh, my volume was down, you know?
I mean, I've done that a lot.
Yeah, so volume on guitar, volume on amp, make sure your amp's on off standby, make sure you have your cabinet, you know, plugged in if it's not a combo. Or even if it is a combo. Who knows? Maybe it came unplugged.
Yep, it can happen.
You know, so do that. Then take the pedal out of your pedal board. So let's say it's a Boss DS1, just because everyone has one, right? Mm-hmm. Take your Boss DS1 or whatever that's not working, take it out of the pedal board and connect two cables, one to pedal, one to the amp. In fact, before you do this, you probably should check to make sure the cables are good, too. So, you know, plug them in
well,
the guitar.
I was
going to
say the very first thing in this case for me is actually unplugging the board and plugging straight into the amp.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure the cables are good. Mm-hmm. Make sure that there's not some other problem there that's not pedal related, that it just happens to be you're plugging through pedals. So, you know, plug it direct in. Make sure that's working. Check both your cables. Now, plug it into the pedal mm-hmm. and leave it there. Get your car or your truck or go on a train or wherever you need to go to the store to buy a brand new Duracell battery. Brand new. Don't take it out of the smoke detector. Don't take it from another pedal. Go buy a brand go buy a brand new battery just to totally eliminate power from the question. And why a Duracell? It's because those cheaper batteries, they can't supply enough current sometimes. They do supply the voltage, but if you have a pedal that requires a bunch of current, like Klon-style pedals, for example, then you need a Duracell, or it's not going to work. It's not going to sound right, more than likely.
So, how do you feel about Energizer?
Actually, Energizers are a little better, oddly enough, than Duracell. They're neck and neck, but the Energizers have a little bit of spike in the current, just a little bit. Or is it voltage? I forget the graph. It's either the voltage or the current. Anyways, there's a little spike in there, which doesn't cause any harm, but Duracell is, they're pretty much neck and neck. They both do really well. But like, you know, your dollar store batteries that you can get super cheap, don't use that. Don't try that. At least not for this test. So once we get back with our brand new battery from the package, we're going to put it in the pedal and check it then. You know? Now, oddly enough, this solves literally 95% of everyone's problems. It really does.
And then I want to put one small disclaimer in this. Because lots of guys are, not you, but lots of companies have eliminated batteries. Some have completely eliminated the battery connectors, which does add a little bit of a level of complication to
that. That's true, yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, I can think of, there's two ways I would get around that. You could buy a connector that goes to a battery. Like it plugs into the pedal and it, you know, just goes to a battery. You can, but some pedals are, simply they could just draw too much current.
Yep.
You know, and in that case, you might need to get your one spot or something like that. Just a good power supply.
Yep.
Which kind of brings me to my next point, which is don't go to Walmart and buy like a multi-purpose power supply. I know, even though it could work, they're not really made for audio, and especially guitar audio. And we've had problems with people where they'll just, you know, they may have already had an adapter somewhere that, you know, maybe they're like, oh, this one fits, I'm just going to use this. I would not do that. Buy one made for guitar pedals, like the one spot. We have some on the website if you want to buy one of those. It's similar to the one spot. It's a 2,000 milliamp power supply. So in other words, as long as your pedals don't exceed 2,000 pedals altogether, then it should power everything up. And to be honest, really, you don't want to push that limit. So if you're
as long as they don't exceed 2,000 milliamps.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, like, let's say you have let's make the math really easy. So let's say I have a 500 milliamp power supply. Okay, that's what it says on it. And I have five pedals, and they all draw exactly 100 milliamps. You could still see problems there. Like, you're pushing the limit, and that power supply may not exactly be 500 milliamps, and the pedals may not exactly be 100 milliamps. It's a lot of factors going on here. So I would say no more than four of those. Like, don't go, if you have a 500 milliamp supply, then don't use more than 400 milliamps of current going through that chain there.
And since we're kind of talking about some basic stuff, which we haven't done in a while, so it's probably good in case we got new folks trickling in here and there. This is a common question that that I've gotten a lot, and I'm sure you've gotten 10 times as much, is what if I put too much current to my pedal?
You can't
do that.
You can't do that.
Yeah, you can hook one pedal up that, you know, to a 2,000 milliamp power supply, and if it draws 10 but it says it only needs 10 milliamps, that's fine. It'll only take what it needs.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. So if you have if you're using a one spot, which is 2,000 milliamps, and you're using it on one pedal, and let's say that pedal draws 35 milliamps, it's not going to harm it in any way. That's basically just saying, we're able to supply this amount. If you only need a little bit, that's fine. That's really what that means.
It's like a gas tank. It's only going to get so full.
Yes. Yep. That's a good analogy. I'm going to start using that.
You'll have to pay me 10 cents every time you use that one. So note it down.
Not a problem. Okay. Let me just make out this invoice to Blake Weiland for 10 cents. Okay. okay, so what else? Could be noise problems.
Noise problems is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
And that one's a little bit trickier, honestly. Now, we should go back and say, like, at the end of the day, you might find it is indeed the pedal. But
yes, we're trying to eliminate everything that it could possibly be first. That way, because the last thing you want to do is send your pedal off to the manufacturer and be without the pedal, right? And the last thing you want to do is get a bill for return shipping and a bench fee because the battery was dead.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's there's minimum bench fees because it just takes, you know, it takes everybody's time. And it takes time to unpack, log things in, pack it back up, use a battery, you know, and ship it back to the person. So, and that does happen, unfortunately.
All the time.
That's just the way it is. But, you know, noise problems. Like, first of all, if it's a gainy pedal, like a distortion, overdrive, or fuzz, you're going to have some hiss no matter what. No matter what. I mean, so for the video, I took my Marshall, what is it? It's a DSL 100H head.
Mm-hmm.
And I just turned the gain channel, like the high gain channel, I just turned the gain up. And it just, you know, you hear shh. You have that much gain in anything, you're going to have noise. Any noise that's there is getting amplified. That's really what's happening.
That's what it does.
Yes.
It's amplifying the signal. And if there's ambient noise in the signal, like when I'm me playing a, you know, old P90 equipped guitar, which I love, but guess what? I just gonna have to accept that there's gonna be some noise.
Right. And if you have fluorescent lights on the circuit that your amp is on, using single coils, you'll have more noise, possibly, very possible.
Mm-hmm.
Even where your amp is, like let's say I had this in my old house. I found out that on one wall, it was actually the power inside the wall, the power, you know, the wires, the main wiring, was connected to, I think it was connected to the washer or the dryer one. And I kept, every time I plugged it in that outlet, I kept getting hum. And I figured out it was because it was on that circuit and just the way electricity works, it was not conducive to good audio. So I had to start using it on a different outlet. So when I built my room, I kind of isolated everything. So I had the power that my amps are on now, it goes direct to the fuse box. So it helps out with noise.
Yeah. I mean, on that note, this is a little bit off subject, but yeah, I think we talked about this like a couple years ago. A friend of mine has a really nice studio and it was getting, and he, you know, spent all kinds of time and money to make sure that we wouldn't have those kinds of problems. But there was certain circuits that had some hum. I can't remember exactly the details or why, but it ended up being because of his invisible electric dog fence he had going around his property. So,
Electricity is really weird. I mean, grounds are pretty much all connected for the most part. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you can get noise through ground, and that seems really weird. I guess to non-engineering people, that seems weird. Like, that's weird to me. But when I talk to other engineers, we're like, well, of course you can get noise through ground. You know, I'm like, oh, well, I didn't know that.
Okay.
So I mean, you know, because I've mentioned before, I am not an engineer. I'm just a guy. I'm just a dork with a breadboard, you know, and he likes making circuits and like, oh, wow, that's cool. That's a good combination of things, you know. Mm-hmm. I look at...
But Brian, that transistor's backwards. I don't care.
It sounds good that way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, that's kind of part of the creative process. It's kind of like writing a song in a way. I know we're getting off topic. I'll get back on topic in a minute. But like if you're writing a song and you're like, oh, well, traditionally this note wouldn't work in this scale, you know, but it does here for whatever reason. It has this oddness to it. You know, sometimes that could be, I like to call it jazz, you know.
I like your style. Yeah, that's jazz, right?
Wrong note. I'm jazz, man. I'm playing jazz.
it's, no, don't worry. That was the note I wanted.
Exactly. I meant to hit that off note, of course.
Or when you hit that off note and you're like, whoops, bend it into the right one.
Or just do what I do and just keep hitting it over and over like you meant to hit that thing, you know?
That's a good choice.
That was no accident. That was on purpose because I am a jazz master.
Oh, I wish I had a jazz master.
Me too.
Let's try. Let's try. We're trying to deliver to the people.
Right. So that's the noise wise. That's my thoughts on noise. I've actually had people get angry. Like, why in the world would I move my amp to a different part of the house? And I'm like, because we're trying to isolate where the noise is. We just want to make sure it's not the fact that, you know, the toaster's on and you hear a noise in your amp. You know what I mean?
Because that does happen. I know it sounds crazy.
It does happen. Or your daughter's using a hair dryer upstairs. And you don't know. You just know there's a weird sound in your amp.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, so there's some other things to talk about with noise.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes, and I've heard people say, like, well, then it's the pedal's fault. Well, it's not really the pedal's fault in this case. It's just the way things go when you run them certain ways. Like, a lot of digital pedals, and not all of them, but sometimes certain combinations of digital pedals cannot be daisy chained together with other pedals because they start creating more noise because of their interference with each other.
Yep.
You need them on their own supply, basically.
Yeah, you really do. And sometimes that could just be like different grounds. So like if it's a pedal that has a digital component to it, whether it's switching or not, in other words, like relay bypass switching, which is still true bypass, but it's using a microcontroller and a digital ground in there that you're basically telling the relay, hey, when this person hits the switch, turn this off. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It still has a digital component to it, which can interfere, like those two different grounds can have problems with grounds before or after it in a different pedal.
That's really interesting. I didn't even think about the soft touch relay switching having that same problem. I never thought about that. I always just thought about my delay, you know, versus my fuzz. But I got lots of fuzzes with soft touch. So that's another thing I never thought about.
Right. So that's a big thing to keep in mind. So see, already I've schooled you, Blake. You know,
you did.
So I should get my 10 cents back.
You can have it back.
Oh, great. Let me just rip it.
We'll call it square.
Okay. Okay, so cables, of course, always like wiggle your cables if you have any noise in them. It could either be the jacks or the cables. Jacks sometimes can come a little bit loose. You can just tighten those dudes up and spray a little bit of dioxide in it if you need to. Because those parts can become oxidized a little bit, or maybe have dust on it, and it makes not so good of a connection. So spray a little dioxide on that. Same thing with pots. If you turn your pot and it's a little scratchy, and this is really common in WAZ too because they're open to the outside world.
And down in the dirt.
Down in the mud, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can spray some dioxide in that, work that pot back and forth a little bit, meaning like the treadle or turn the knob, whichever you're spraying it in.
Yep.
And it'll clean it right up. It's pretty handy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Cables are a big one. I mean, like the when you got a big board with lots of connections, just one little cable in there could give you all sorts of fits in the noise or failure department.
Yep.
Yep.
Now with our pedals, whenever it's not getting enough voltage or current, it actually will just flash and then stay off. Like you try to turn it on, it just flashes like three or four times, and then stays off. And that's kind of a signal to you, like, hey, we don't have enough power here. So a common question I get is, my pedal's just flashing. It's not turning on. Well, that's easy. Just, you know, let's get you a good power supply.
There you go. You know, that's thinking with your... That's not just a hat rack you got on over there.
So, and that's... I don't know if other companies do that. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. I don't know. I know ours does. I think probably one of the biggest things... I've seen this all over the place whenever I was researching for my FAQ article. So many people say, should I disconnect my battery if I'm using a power supply? Like, am I going to hurt it? And I, So here's what you need to know. Whenever you put that power, the plug, when you put the plug into the jack for the pedal, it's like a little switch in there. So it actually disconnects the battery whenever you put a plug in there. Mm-hmm. So
you're talking about the power.
For the power plug. Yes.
Yes.
So technically, no, you don't need to disconnect your battery if you're using a power supply. On every pedal that I've seen anyways, maybe perhaps there's one out there that doesn't work that way, but I just haven't ran into it. As far as I know, yes, it does disconnect the battery. But a problem with keeping a battery in a pedal is they can leak over time.
Yes.
And when they do leak, they start corroding things and it gets all nasty and makes a big mess on the inside of your pedal. And it's kind of a toxic hazard. So
yes. And it can ruin your pedal.
And it can ruin your pedal. Yes. Mm-hmm. So if you plan on using power supplies, I would probably take the batteries out just to be a little more environmentally conscious.
Well, and you, who knows, maybe you intend to, you know, take that battery out, but you're so excited to put the new pedal on your board. I'll do that later. And then the next thing you know, 4 years goes by and you're like, something's coming out of my, my DS1's leaking over here. I didn't put any, is this the tone fluid coming out of it?
Oh no, my mojo's leaking.
I gotta send this back to boss and get it topped off. Yeah, so, I mean, like, I think the best move is just go ahead and, if you know you're going to use a power supply, you get a pedal, just pop that thing out.
Right.
Throw it in your drawer, use it in your remote control or something, whatever.
Your smoke detector.
Yeah. But you brought up something that I think is worth mentioning. This is not so much troubleshooting as it is just basic pedal, I don't know, what is this, basic pedal knowledge or not so basic pedal knowledge. I don't know what it is. But if you do have batteries and you pretty much exclusively use batteries and you have it on a pedal board, don't be surprised that battery dies really, really fast if you leave it plugged in on the input jack.
Even if it's turned off.
Even if it's turned off, yes.
Right. And the reason for that is because whenever you're actually turning your pedal off, you're not turning the power off. All you're doing is making the sound not go through the circuit board. Instead, it just connects from jack to jack. It just bypasses that circuit board. However, there's still power that's being consumed by that pedal. As long as that input cable is in that input jack, it's using power.
Mm-hmm.
Unless
I didn't know that early on. So
I didn't either. When I was younger. But if you have a jack, like we talked about, if you have a power cable plugged into the power jack, then it disconnects the battery, so you don't have to worry about it then.
Mm-hmm. But you should have taken the battery out.
You've already taken it out now, so yeah, right.
that's something I wasn't sure of when I first started using pedals. It was like, what? Why is this? I just changed this battery the other day. Why is it dead? Like,
especially when you put it in that delay that you had, right? Like, right. Whoa, I just put a battery in here like 3 hours ago. What's the deal, man? Yeah, those use a lot of power. Uh-huh.
Which I guess if we're just dispensing different ideas for pedal boards, I would say, you know, I ran a regular one spot for years and years and years. But I will say, you know, get yourself a decent power supply. Not that the one spot isn't good. In fact, I went to a good power supply. I went to the One Spot Pro.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're going to get into pedals and going to have a good board, don't do what I did and try to just slap this thing together for years and years and years. Just bite the bullet and get yourself a decent power supply, and you'll be happy. And right. I am, like, the most – I am the guiltiest person in the world of this. I'd been doing the podcast and stuff for I don't know how many years before I finally just bought a decent power supply.
Well, whenever when I have like a little small board that I'll take if I go play somewhere, I may have five or six pedals on it, and I still just throw a one spot on there with that's daisy chained.
You know? Oh no, that works great.
Yeah,
I use that for my mini board too.
Right, but on our show board, I think I have three or four different power supplies. I'm using Friedman's on that right now, Friedman's power supply.
But how many pedals are on your show board? Like 20?
You know, I haven't counted recently, but if I had to guess, maybe 25 or 6.
Yeah.
you know.
Once you start getting hot and heavy into it, it's worth it.
Right.
For sure.
And plus, especially at a show, the power is always so flaky. You never know if it's going to be dirty or noisy or anything like that. So I like to put each pedal on its own isolated power from the supply. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So if I did that with the one spot, I'd have to have like, you know, 31 spots. It'd be kind of ridiculous.
That would be quiet though.
It'd be super quiet. And that patch strip would be gigantic.
It would. I will say, like, I mean, we've talked about the one spot a lot lately. But I gotta say that I have a couple one spots. I'm really impressed with them for how cheap they are, how well they actually work.
Right. Yep.
They are pretty darn quiet.
I had one. I'm gonna say it's 2000, 2001 era, maybe, that I bought one. And it was only a couple years ago it stopped working, which is, and that's nothing against them. That actually surprises me because of in the manner that I treat stuff.
Right.
Like that thing had been thrown, you name it. It had been dropped. It had been stepped on. It had been abused.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty good.
I can say a similar story with mine, except not quite as old, but I still have them. These are probably from 2008 or so. Yeah, probably 2008, and they're both still working. So
yeah, yep.
Good job, True Tone.
Very good. Yep. So, anyways, I hope that helps some people. You know, I think maybe if nothing else, it's something to maybe pass on to others.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something to consider before writing to the manufacturer. And I'm not saying this to alleviate Mr. Best of any help or of any work, but right. it's just across the board. Like everyone does this, and everyone has a somewhat similar checklist of, did you try this, 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 and this? Because nobody wants you to send them the pedal and then find out that the pedal's fine and say, sorry, bud, and just send it back to you. Like, that's kind of like miserable for everyone involved.
Right. Of course, from the customer side, because you're like, no way, there was a problem with this when it left here. From the manufacturer side, whenever you get this pedal, you're like, I can't find the problem. It's kind of like, you ever take your car in to get worked on, and you're like, it was just making this noise, I swear. As soon as I pulled up, it stopped.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that, unfortunately, that does happen from time to time where you're just like, I cannot replicate the problem. I don't know. Everything looks fine. Everything measures fine. I've tried my best to break it, but it's just still work. You know, I can't find a problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, well, I know that a lot of times, like this checklist of things to go through, I know it seems like a pain in the butt, and it seems like when manufacturers give you this list of things to do that they're trying to get out of it, out of doing anything. And that's not really it at all. We're really just trying to make sure that you don't have to go through the hassle of shipping it to us and us checking it out only to ship it back to you. And now, you know, you're frustrated and we're like, I did my best to fix it, but there's no problem with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, that's all I've got to say about that.
I think that's it. That's all too. I don't have. I can't think of any other like super common pedal related. It's not making sound or it's noisy. Those are like the two big ones.
Right. And if you still after all those steps you still have a problem, more often than not it's the switch.
Yep.
Especially if it's a mechanical switch. So.
That is something that you should send back to the manufacturer.
Yes. So. Yeah. If you're handy with a soldering iron, you know, it's definitely doable, you know, but, most
warranty
of manufacturers,
void.
Well, I mean, I think it depends. Like there's kind of a gray area with us. Like I would rather get it back and us fix it unless it's like, I don't know. Let's say Jamie from Earthquaker or something, you know, had one of our pedals. He's like, hey, Brian, the switch went out. I'm pretty sure he knows how to, I'm pretty sure he can fix it, you know?
Right.
I'm not gonna be like, no, Jamie, you're gonna void your warranty if you try to do that yourself. You know, how do I know you have any experience soldering here?
But if I did it, he'd be like, yeah, go ahead and send it back.
Yeah, we don't want you soldering. Yeah. Uh-uh.
Well, I can do it. It just, the depth perception thing is makes for a long process.
Yes, that could go very bad.
I have to be very careful.
I have seen some people who have tried to repair some things before, so don't feel bad. When I say try, like, there's been times where it looked like someone took like a butane torch and tried to desolder something. So, you know, really, if you don't have a lot of experience, you know, using a soldering iron, like other than pickups, you know, soldering on circuit boards and stuff, then you probably should send it back. Because soldering on circuit boards is a lot different than wiring up pickups or something.
And yeah, I guess those are the big ones. So,
right.
I did find something else. Well, I didn't find it. Sweetwater emailed it to me that I didn't know about, but I suppose I should have logically thought about. And this is sort of pedal related, I suppose. But, Brian, you probably already knew. The FCC basically regulates all airwave transmissions of any sort.
Right.
You know, like even down to like Wi-Fi routers and, you know.
Yep. And things with pedals, too. We have to get FCC compliance with different parts and pedals as well.
Basically, isn't that little sticker that says you have to accept any and all interference?
Yeah, because if you have any sort of digital circuit, it can send out, it literally can send out a small sound, what's the best way to put it? A small, let's call it a sound wave or a light wave. Mm-hmm. I guess it would technically be more of a sound wave. Just because of the way digital stuff works and talks to other bits inside. So, they have to make sure that it's not putting out a frequency that is going to affect anything else.
Right.
It's mainly in digital stuff. So if you're building fuzz faces with the mechanical switch, you don't have to worry about it. But if you're building delays and, you know, with the tap tempos and all that fun stuff. If you're Chase Bliss, you know what FCC is.
Right. Yes. But what I was reading about is that what I didn't know is like, okay, so let's see if I can explain this in some way that makes sense.
Yep.
Basically, there's a frequency range that radio signals and all kinds of sound waves, I'm not saying it right. Like, there's a frequency range for everything.
Right.
And the FCC regulates what is in, what can be in what frequency. And that falls under the kind of the category of wireless units.
Yes.
So they're actually auctioning off pieces of, what I mean is like bigger companies can buy the rights to use that frequency range for
right.
their product.
Right.
Some of that has been purchased by other companies, and it actually is making some older wireless units obsolete.
Right.
For the most part.
Yep. So basically, I think a lot of bigger phone companies and companies like that are basically saying, yes, I'm going to buy this frequency range. Mm-hmm. Buy the use of it, I guess. Not really. You're not buying you're not pulling it out of air. Like, I own this part of sound.
Right.
But you're basically buying the right from the FCC to use it.
Yes, to broadcast on it,
yeah.
Basically.
Right. So, but what's happening is that some people with older wireless units, you're literally just not going to be able to use them anymore. And you won't be able to sell them, if I understand it correctly. Like, you won't be able to sell this product. You'll have to trash can it.
Yes, which is quite unfortunate. But, I mean, and I don't play wireless, but I know it's kind of a niche-y thing. Like, not a ton of people do, but it is a thing, and I've heard I can hear people like, oh, that's not fair. It's like, well, it's really not fair, and I don't like it. But the reality is that AT&T is much bigger than Sure,
right? Exactly.
And so if they're in a bidding war, guess who's going to win?
Right, AT&T has more dollars, so
mm-hmm.
there's nothing going to do. So it's. It's a 716 megahertz, a 698 megahertz. It's going to be illegal to use that those frequencies, unless you've licensed it, starting July 13th, 2020.
Oh, so it's still a little ways out.
Yeah, it's a few months out from as we record this. But yeah, literally illegal to use that wireless.
Did it say, it probably doesn't say like who bought what. It probably, that's probably
I'm
not.
I'm trying to find it. Make small talk, Blake. Quick,
okay.
Make small talk.
Well, I should say that it actually, and it is an auction. So it's like quite literally whoever has the wants that frequency range or wants the use of it and has the bigger checkbook is going to win. So it's literally the FCC actually, I don't know how they go about it because this is all kind of news to me. They actually auction it off.
Yeah.
So it's like, 55, who wants a 690, whatever, you know. Like,
let's see. I think if I'm reading this right, T-Mobile, Comcast, Dish Network, several other telecommunications companies.
Okay.
See, acquired it.
Yeah. We're not going to win against those guys.
No. Yeah, it's like Wampler Pedal says, hey, Dish Network, we want to buy it. How much is it? We got like $20, you know?
Right.
And they're like, well, we've got like $20 billion. And we're like, All right, you can have it then.
All right, I guess that's yours. No wireless units for Wampler,
right.
I guess. But I just thought that was kind of interesting. It did affect affected musicians. So I almost a bit of a PSA. Like if you have wireless units that you're using right now, you might want to do a little Googling and see if they're going to work. You know, if they're a very integral. I can't speak today.
Important.
If they're an important part of your stage show, then you might want to be making sure your unit is up to snuff.
Right.
So,
yeah. I mean, I doubt they're like going to haul you off to jail or anything, but
it might literally not work.
Right. Yep.
Like, so I would definitely, yeah, I don't think you're going to get caught necessarily. I think that would be very unlikely, but I think they just might physically stop working.
Right. And I'm not sure the way this article reads, I'm not sure if it's only like in specific cities, specific markets, they call it. Or if it's everywhere. I just don't know. And it's an article on Sweetwater. So you can Google Sweetwater FCC Wireless Spectrum Auction. And you should
there
find
you go.
It.
It was also in the mailer that went out. Well, it won't be today as you hear it, but on the 24th. So if you're subscribed to Sweetwater, it was in their email newsletter.
Right.
So.
And if you're listening to this in 2021, it was last year. You missed it, dude.
Right, your unit's not working.
And this is why. If you're listening to this podcast trying to figure out why your wireless unit quit working last year, that's why.
You know how hilarious that would be if that actually happened? I mean, I'd feel bad for the guy because his piece of equipment doesn't work anymore, but that would be kind of funny if, like, in 3 years we get an email from, you know, Ryan Seacrest saying, hey, my wireless unit stopped working. I don't know why I said Ryan Seacrest.
Why would he be listening to the Chasing Tone podcast? Hi, I'm Ryan Seacrest. I've got nothing better to do, but I think I'll listen to this Chasing Tone podcast today.
Hey, who knows? We don't know if that guy, what he does.
That's
Maybe he
true.
Plays guitar.
That's true. I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, for all we know, John Mayer, George Lynch, Brad Mason, Brad Paisley, Red Volkar. I mean, name your favorite guitarist. Yngwie Malmsteen, they could all
They're
be
all listening right
they
now.
They all could be listening right now and be like, holy crap, my freaking wireless unit's not going to work now. You know?
Have you ever wondered that? Like, I've wondered that before. If, like, there's anybody who's, like, legitimately well known listening to us ramble like morons.
I don't know. I guess I would have to believe that a lot of those guys probably don't have a lot of spare time to listen to gear podcasts. Maybe I'm wrong.
But they do. They do, regardless whether it seems like they do or not. Because, like, Brad Paisley gets on a plane not like the same plane that I was going to say, just like you and I, but it would be a little bit different plane.
Right. His tends to be like, you know, his plane. Like, he owns it. He could say, let's stop here and get a bite to eat. You know, wherever they're at.
Well, see, but what I'm getting at is, like it still, even though it's his plane, it still takes the same amount of fly time to get wherever he's going.
Pretty much, yes. He just doesn't have layovers.
Maybe he does have a couple hours to kill, and he wants to listen to what his favorite pedal guy has to say about stuff. I don't know.
It could be. I mean, there's, you know, you and I are busy as well, but we still find time to listen to podcasts, right?
Right. Well, I mean, I drive just like everybody else, so there's going to be time where I would like to consume some audio nonsense.
Wait a minute. So, because I'm thinking like me, when I'm driving, I got the Cyndi Lauper blaring on the radio. I'm singing along about how girls just want to have fun. I'm not always listening to podcasts, you know?
No, I definitely, I mean, I listen to a lot of podcasts. Yeah, I mean, what was I listening to the other day? I was listening to Whitesnake. And it was just really the time for Whitesnake for me for some reason.
Oh, those are the best moments whenever, like, just the right song hits you at the right time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's that time
mm-hmm.
that makes me wish I had my mullet back so I could just completely rock out, you know? Because mm-hmm. when you don't have hair, that much hair on your forehead, it's you don't look as cool when you're rocking out going down the road, you know?
I don't think anyone looks cool rocking out going down the road. I know I don't. Because everyone knows what you're doing, and everyone's, like, supporting you, having a good time, but you kind of look like a doofus.
Wait a minute. So you're telling me you don't ever roll up to stoplights, radio cranking, got, like I said, singing girls just want to have fun, and, you know, you pull up to the stoplight, and you look over at the guy, and you kind of nod at him, and you're like, ah, oh, that's right. That's right. I got this.
Well, I do have a somewhat of a funny story about that. I don't know if anyone cares, but it's somewhat amusing. Back when me and my wife were dating, so this was a long, long time ago, I was really into, the metalcore, like, really aggressive music at the time, and I still like that stuff, but I was really into it then, so much that I really wanted to have those kind of vocals, and I was really practicing the gnarly screaming and stuff, and I do it basically every time I got in the car. Well, I was listening to, I don't remember, Under Oath or something, and I was cruising, and I was just screaming my head off, practicing my metal vocals. And I found out later that my future father-in-law saw me, and he said, "Yeah, your boyfriend was like driving around in his truck, and he looked like he was really angry.
He was really mad about something."
Yeah. She was like, I don't know if that's a good thing. And she's like, oh no, don't worry, he was just singing.
Yeah, when he sings, he gets mad. It's totally normal.
Yeah, I mean, I'd just be screaming my head off, and it was like I'm sure I looked like an absolute madman.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That was a boring story, but it was kind of funny.
Did you have a mullet back then?
No, I've always had a fairly short hair. I just don't want to deal with it.
Well, of course, you know, I'm 43 years old. So when I was 16, everybody had a mullet here in Indiana. Well, not everybody, but a lot of the people did. A lot of the guys did.
Well, this is a little different time frame. This is the early 2000s.
Well, yeah. See, I'm an old fart.
You're so old, Brian. All right, well,
that's a good
place
to wrap this one up.
Yeah, that works for me.
All right. Well, we will talk to everyone next week.
Later.
And thank you so much for listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. I really appreciate it. Very much so. If you have any comments or questions, you can always email me directly at podcast@wamplerpedals.com. And once again, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.